You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And it is just going to be you and me today on this episode, just like old times. And what we're going to talk about today, Spurs throttling of the Orlando Magic, no less on the road where San Antonio has been struggling this season. The Spurs pretty much could not miss from the field. Pick a player, the shot went down practically. So what we're going to do, break down this win over Orlando. And what does this tell us about this team? Is this a good sign, or are we still holding our breath as the season continues? And with that, the Spurs rolled the Magic 129-90. It was not a contest from the beginning of the game. The Spurs expanded their lead to 1.2, 30-plus points. Spurs never took their foot off the gas, throughout this game. One thing that was at least worrying me was there not going to be another repeat of the Spurs blowing a big lead like we saw versus the Bulls in San Antonio. Nevertheless, that did not happen. The Spurs played four quarters of basketball. Popovich was asked about the Spurs playing four quarters of basketball after the game and just simply said, "I think they played well." That is an understatement, Pop. The Spurs played well and then some. They played balance offensively and defensively. The Spurs have been bringing that effort on both ends of the court. Maybe not against the Bulls, but nevertheless, at least out of six of the last seven games, the Spurs have been rounding into form. So what happened? Who did well and who didn't do well? Pretty much probably nobody did bad. Everybody did so great. But the Spurs were led by LaMarcus Aldridge's 20 points. He had three rebounds, four assists, and two steals on the night. Did that in 23 minutes. And the Spurs, DeRozan and Forbes, each had 17 points. And Bellinelli had 18 points. Now, these guys, Bellinelli, Forbes, could not miss. And the Spurs as a whole shot the ball lights out for the entire game. They ended the game shooting 63% from beyond the three-point line, 12 of 19. And if that isn't any better, the Spurs shot 65% from the field, 50 of 77. Now, the Spurs not only did it offensively, at least from beyond the arc, they also did it capitalizing on loose balls and getting out on the fast break. They pretty much manhandled the Magic 26-9 in fast break points. And they took advantage of the fact that the Orlando Magic were without Nikola Vucevic, who was out for personal reasons due to the birth of his child. 40-24 Spurs points in the paint edge. The Spurs definitely took advantage of the absence of Vucevic, who had been playing phenomenally this season. I think he's averaging like 20 points per game, has to be considered at least an all-star for the Eastern Conference. The Spurs nevertheless took advantage of that missing player. Mo Bamba started instead of Vucevic, and he finished only with 7 points. He was a minus 20 for the night. Really wasn't a factor. The Spurs just did it all. I mean, defensively, you're looking at what they did. They hold Orlando for the game, 38% from the field, 38% shooting from the three-point line. Their three-point defense was on cue. The Spurs' perimeter defense was on cue. They were really limiting DJ Augustine, who in the first meeting against San Antonio, and San Antonio lit them up. He only had 17 points for the night. He was a minus 20 on the night versus San Antonio. Gordon really wasn't a factor at all. 12 points, 40% shooting. Didn't really factor into any of this. The Magic just simply couldn't get any rhythm. The Spurs were just doing whatever they wanted to do versus the Orlando Magic. And the only blemish on the night I can think of is the Spurs had 11 turnovers. Now, yes, the Spurs are one of the best in the league at limiting turnovers. But what my issue with them in this one department, and maybe I'm nitpicking here, 17 points off those 11 turnovers for Orlando. That is just not good. That's something they could work on. And, you know, every coach is going to look at that and say, well, yes, you know, you got the huge win 129-90 over Orlando. But, you know, let's talk about the transition defense off those turnovers. Nevertheless, the Spurs had themselves from Rudy Gay, finishing with 14 points. You mentioned Aldridge having 20. You have a guy like Bryn Forbes, 17 points. And let's just magnify that. 25 minutes, 7 for 8 from the field, 3 for 4 from the 3-point line, plus 15 on the night. Even Davis Bertans, he finished the game with a perfect night. 3 for 3 from the field, 3 for 3 from the 3-point line, 9 points. All in all, every player that stepped on the court scored, from Drew Eubanks, who finished with 7 points, to Quincy Pondexter, who finished with 5 points. The Spurs did it all. Now, you're looking at what the players had to say following the game. Popovich, you know, in typical Popovich fashion, just simply downplayed it. He did say that, hey, look, the Magic were without Vucevic. You know, he's a huge part of that attack for Orlando. Nevertheless, Popovich felt that Spurs got a break without having Nikola there. But basically, he just said, obviously, quote, I'm quoting him now, obviously, we also caught a break with Nikola Vucevic being out. He means a lot to the rhyme and reason for what goes on for the Magic, so that was a huge factor. So, you know, would have Vucevic made a difference tonight versus Orlando? I'm sorry, versus the Spurs? Probably not. The Spurs simply couldn't miss from the outside, connected on every shot. But as Popovich continued his post-game thoughts, one thing that really stood out for me was he said that they're finally getting used to each other. Quote, I think we're getting a little bit more used to each other. A lot of new players, 2/3 of them are new. It takes a while, and we're hopeful that maybe we're getting better in that regard as far as executing on both ends of the court. So Popovich has now looking at the fact that this team is rounding together and getting used to one another, and something we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Outside of simply what Popovich had to say, we're going to take another look back at what the Spurs did on the court. You're looking at Rudy Gay. You know, he finished a 9-0 run for San Antonio late in the first half, and that pretty much extended the lead to the for the Spurs 60-35 going into halftime. The Magic, they never cut the deficit to anything less than 17 points in the second half. That's the closest they got. It really wasn't a contest. So what we're going to do right now, because the stats are out of the way, we got a little thoughts from Popovich. We're going to take our first break. We get back. What does this mean? What does this win mean for San Antonio? What can we learn from this road win over Orlando moving forward? So we're going to take our first break. All right, we are back, and we're going to continue our discussion on the Spurs' win over Orlando. Now, we went over some numbers to start the show, talked a little bit about what Popovich had to say and some of the standout players, but what does this mean? The Spurs beat a depleted Orlando Magic team without their prime star, a team that had already beaten San Antonio in San Antonio and were going for the sweep, but the Spurs came out and pretty much punched Orlando in the mouth to pick up a rare road win. First of all, this is just great for San Antonio. Let's talk about the road win. Just the fact that they won on the road. The Spurs have struggled mightily this season away from the AT&T Center. Their record is well below 500. They were getting throttled on the road. Remember the Utah loss when Utah just went bombs away on San Antonio, connected on so many threes? That was one thing that heading into tonight's contest that I think may have weighed on a lot of Spurs fans' mind as well. Can this team get it done away from the AT&T Center? We know what they just did in their 6 games at home, going 5-1, just a second half away from having a perfect 6-game homestand versus the Bulls. We all know what happened in that debacle. But nevertheless, they were riding high coming off that 6-game homestand, beating teams like the Lakers, beating teams like the Sixers, and especially the Sixers, mightily. So the Spurs had a little mojo heading into tonight's, or yesterday's contest, that is, versus Orlando. That road, whatever it is, jinx on them, did not rear its ugly head during 4 quarters of play for San Antonio. So right off the bat, you just got to take a deep breath and say it was a road win. Spurs need to prove that they can do what they did in San Antonio recently, and they could do it away from the AT&T Center. So check that box off the checklist right there. Second of all, you're seeing a lot of balanced scoring. I mentioned that because you look at what happened last night versus Orlando. it wasn't the usual suspect, DeMar DeRozan, leading the team. He only had 17 points in 30 minutes. But you saw everybody chipping in offensively. From LaMarcus Aldridge's 20 points, to Rudy Gay's 14 points, to Bellinelli's 18 points, to Poeltl's 4, to Eubanks 7, to Derek White's 9 points. It doesn't matter. Everybody was chipping in against an Orlando team that has been playing some good defense of late heading into last night's contest with San Antonio. So you have the Spurs collectively showing up versus a team that they should beat and should have beaten in San Antonio, and they took care of business right away. Why do I bring that up? Because DeMar DeRozan, he doesn't have to shoulder the load on the offensive end, at least against the win against Orlando. Who knows if they'll need him to be DeMar DeRozan as the season goes on, but at least for one game, he didn't have to worry about that. You saw him take a break. You saw him hit the bench early in the fourth quarter. 30 minutes is a lot. He played the most minutes, second most minutes on the night versus Orlando, but he needed rest. He's been playing heavy minutes, I think upwards of 36, 37 minutes per game on average. So to save him a little bit does wonders. It also does wonders for the other guys. That's another thing we can check off the checklist here. It boosts confidence. Derek White got the start versus Orlando over Patty Mills, over Bellinelli, and he, you know, boom, he got it. He got the start. So I think that helps him become a better player as the season goes on. Look, he was heralded coming out of the G League into this season. He was lighting up the G League, lighting up Summer League. And then he had a couple good games, then kind of trailed off a bit. And at least against Orlando in 34 minutes, he had 9 points and 66% shooting from the field and 6 assists. And that's the thing. You know, you want him to build confidence. He did that, and hopefully, versus Orlando. Hopefully, he'll carry on. You know, another thing that we can learn from this this win over the Magic is simply what I said, what Pop said to start the show. Simply this. The Spurs are starting to get used to each other. That's another thing that I think has been going under the radar right now. This Spurs team started off very slow out of the gates to start this season. We saw them win 4 in a row, and then after that, kind of the wheels fell off. They were well below 500. Right now, the record is 17-15 with the win over Orlando. They're on a 2-game winning streak. That does well for confidence for the team. And that should show you that they're now starting to come together, that they're now starting to understand each other. Now, they're all starting to get on the same page. You're looking at a complete overhaul this team had in the offseason. Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker gone. Kawhi got traded. Danny got traded. Kyle left to Memphis. DeJounte Murray gets hit with an injury. Lonnie Walker gets hit with an injury. Derek White is out to start the season. You have Pau Gasol right now who don't know when he's coming back. So this team has been out of sorts. You mix in a roster overhaul plus the injury bug that hit them. Isn't it any time? And I know a lot of Spurs fans were on camp tank. You know, let's call it a season, get the best pick. I've been very clear about this since the beginning of the season that this team is going to need time to get together and that we really won't gauge them until maybe closer to the All-Star break. Then we will know what this team is about. Right now, they're showing that. Defensively, at least heading into the game versus Orlando, they were averaging about 6 blocks per game and about 6 steals per game. They now have held 6 teams straight, consecutive straight games, holding teams under 100 points. That includes Philadelphia 76ers with the likes of Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Jimmy Butler. That includes a team like Orlando that has Gordon on their roster and Isaac on their roster and DJ Augustine that lit up the Spurs in the first meeting. This team is getting it done defensively. You're looking at what they did, and we mentioned that, you know, holding Orlando to 38% shooting, causing 13 turnovers for 15 Spurs points on the night. That bodes well for San Antonio moving forward. Yes, I get it. It was an Orlando team that really wasn't at full power, but they're going to get tested soon. You got Minnesota coming up next. There's Boston on the horizon. There's Toronto on the horizon. Those are games where the Spurs can get tested, and we'll see what they're made of as the season moves on. But at least for one night, this Spurs team look great. They're continuing to look good. They're continuing to improve. Every game, they're looking better. Every game they're looking better offensively, defensively. There's really nothing bad you can say about the Spurs of late outside of that big mess up they had versus the Bulls. But I mean, I think all could be forgiven for that loss considering the way they've been winning of late. And I'm not the only one who's saying this. The players are also talking about how they're getting it done defensively in the least in the recent games that the Spurs have been hanging. Let's talk about what DeMar DeRozan had to say. One thing he talked about following the game is that is that defense. He's saying if we take care of home and bring that confidence out going to the road, then we should be able to pull out games like this. End quote. So he's aware that the defense is where it has to get done. So you got DeMar DeRozan, the star of the team, saying that defense wins. There it is. Bryn Forbes, as much as he was an offensive player versus Orlando, he says following the game, quote, I think defense, we were solid on defense and we were packed in and we were in help and they were getting tough shots. So the team, is starting to see that defensiveness mindset set in. Hopefully it'll continue moving forward. All right, so I'm going to take my last break. When we get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. All right, I am back, and you're listening to this episode of Locked On Spurs. And by the way, go out to the Locked On NBA Network. The NBA season is in full swing, from Locked On Celtics to Locked On Bulls to Locked On Mavericks to Locked On Bulls. Pick a team. It's represented on the Locked On NBA Network. Please go out there and support and subscribe not only to my show, Locked On Spurs, but to the entire Locked On NBA Network. All right, so the Spurs picked up a solid win, an easy win. They cruised to the victory, let's be honest. And hopefully it'll continue. I mentioned the Spurs have Minnesota up next. That'll be back in San Antonio. The team still has Cat, still has Wiggins. They got themselves a few pieces from the Philly deal, Saric and Covington. So this is a team that although they do not have Jimmy Butler anymore, they still can pose issues. That should be a nice, exciting game for those fans heading out to the AT&T Center. With the win, the Spurs now move to 17-15. They're on a two-game winning streak, and hopefully they'll continue that going back home to San Antonio Friday night versus Minnesota. You know, one other thing before I put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs, I'll talk about the defense. You know, look what the Spurs did versus Orlando. They had a 45-33 rebound edge over the Magic. This was a complete game. I haven't seen the Spurs play this kind of a complete game in quite some time. I think we've seen a couple of times during the six-game homestand. But nevertheless, they really showed out versus Orlando. Kudos to San Antonio. I'm still on camp. Let's wait it out a little bit more. They beat a team they should beat. They beat teams in their six-game homestand. They should beat Utah. Eking out against a win over the Lakers, a team that they had the number this whole season. So they beat teams they should beat. I still want to see when the big boys come into San Antonio or they go to opposing teams such as a Toronto, a Golden State, a Denver. And see how they'll fare against the upper echelon teams. But until then, they're looking better. They're looking good. I like the direction the team is going. I just want to see it sustained a little bit more, and especially against a team. And should they get a win over a quality team as the season progresses, I think that's what exactly they could be missing right now, that nice signature win. I think the Spurs need a signature win over a top team, whether it be East or West. Doesn't matter. Let's see how this team does well against teams that are heads above the rest in the NBA. But before we put a close, make sure to go out to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio. There's one thing that's said out at News 4 in the sports department. It's all over the Spurs. Well, the Spurs Zone is that and more, all over the Spurs. From Locked On Spurs to the latest on DeJounte Murray, Pau Gasol, how they're doing, even to guys like Chimezie Metu and how he's playing at the 2018 NBA G League Showcase. Go check it out. The Spurs Zone is there 24 hours a day, practically giving you cover to cover, 24-hour, 7 days a week coverage on your San Antonio Spurs. But with that, I am Jeff Garcia, and I'm going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.